15 to 25 knots, becoming 30 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet and west swells 8 to 10 feet every 14 seconds, along with showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Outside KSCO Studios, it is currently 47 degrees. The time is now 10:06. Coming up next, hour number one of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's Michael Ellswirling, a.k.a. MZ. Can you hear me out there in Radio Land? Well, I'm hoping you can, because up here at KSCO North, it's very threatening, and I'm waiting to hear the whether it's going to clear up so I can go from KSCO North to KSCO Central.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Hey, Dave, are you there?
I'm right here, MZ.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I got all confused.
Well, what music are we going to play here?
Well,
I have control of the boards here?
No, I was going to play this. I was going to play this, and so, I was going to play this.
Good morning.
See? But you already played it. You already played it, so I don't have to play it again unless you think I should.
No, I think we're all right.
No?
No.
It's a very pleasant song.
It is.
Okay, then let's play it again.
Whatever you want.
Okay, so, yeah, well, let's do the next thing here, okay? Let's do the crossfire here. Let's go right into the program here. Let me introduce our first guest here. None other than your friend and mine, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. Hi, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. How are you? Good. So, listen, your buds at KSCO and KOMY, a lot of them don't know that you have a new nationally syndicated radio program. The Bright Side has gone national.
Well,
and
thank
you. And it's not, and it's 5 days a week now. It's not just Sunday. Well, I mean, it's not Sundays at all. It's Monday through Friday, local time, 8 to 9 a.m. on KOMY.
Yep. I get to talk about all the latest nutrition news and politics and nutrition and politics and everything else that I want to talk about for an hour a day. You ever hear the saying? I forgot who said this. It was Mark Twain who said, it's better to keep your mouth closed and have people think you're an idiot than to open it up and have people know. And I run that risk every day.
No. Well, I guess you run the risk, but yeah. No, you can't run the risk if you're not an idiot at all, which you're anything but.
Well, you can misspeak and you can say the wrong thing and all kinds of stuff can happen. It's really risky business. I wonder if people recognize, and I know when I hear people on television, on MSNBC, or I listen to the radio, I don't do it as much anymore now that I'm on the air, but I used to always find myself being very judgmental. Oh, that guy's an idiot. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh, what a jerk, blah, blah, blah. And now I have a lot more sympathy for them. Because
Has anybody ever caught you say misspeaking?
People call me misspeaking. It happened. I was on Alex Jones. I misspoke on Alex Jones for about a million people.
Oh, that's true, huh? That was terrible, pharmacist.
That was very humbling. Very, very humbling. It's funny because...
But the funny thing is that nobody knew the difference. Only you.
No, enough people did. Enough people did. You know, there's a saying, pride cometh before a fall, right? You've heard that, I'm sure. And I found myself before, you know, I've been really... Because I've been studying the human body for a long period of time. And lately, it's been kind of coalescing for me. And I had a couple aha experiences, inspiration kind of moments, when all the pieces of disease, I was telling you about this a couple of days ago, when all the pieces of health and disease sort of coalesce for me, and I start to see how the body works in a very integrated, kind of coherent way, a very lucid and coherent way, so that I could attach, connect disease states with various things, various parts of the body. And I found myself getting a little cocky about that, and I noticed while I was getting cocky, but then a voice in my head said, Ben, don't be so cocky, better watch out. And sure enough, 2 days later, I made my big faux pas in front of a million people, and there were all kinds of people on the internet that Dukes is an idiot.
It was only a million people. I hate to spoil your day even more, but I think it's 2 to 3 million people that
around the world
each day. Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's got a viral radio program.
Yeah, he really does. And you know,
he's not all that well known in the radio industry. I'm going to help him. I'm going to help change that if I can. And
you're a large part of that, MZ. Do you realize that you are a large part of how the impact that Alex Jones is having in the mainstream? And I've been listening to him for a long period of time, maybe 12 years or so I've been listening to Alex Jones. And just lately, the last year or so, he's kind of caught fire. And you're a large part of that, MZ.
Well, I think I had nothing to do with Alex's understanding and use of new media technologies. I had absolutely nothing to do with that, but I will accept having a role in putting the word out about Alex Jones to the radio industry. In fact, I just got the word today, not today, this week, that Alex's head is going to be featured on the cover of Talkers Magazine, the next issue, which will be out in the radio industry people's hands starting this coming week. And he's,
you know what, Alex?
Yeah.
MZ, it's a very dramatic head.
It is a very dramatic head.
It's a very dramatic head. His face is very dramatic. He captures Alex Jonesness in his face and in his expression. Like on that InfoWars page, there's a great picture of him.
You're talking about InfoWars Team?
InfoWarsTeam.com is a great picture.
Yeah, InfoWarsTeam.com. We've actually teamed up with him. He's actually teamed up with us. Many network marketing companies apparently have been after Alex to hook up with them for the last 10 or 15 years, and he never found anyone that he trusted until he discovered us and Doc Wallach and the longevity thing. And
well, in a way, Doc Wallach is like the Alex Jones of nutrition.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. So there's a nice little way. They integrate very well. The two messages integrate very well, which is why I got myself associated with Doc Jones in the first, or Doc Wallach in the first place, because those of us who are very suspicious about mainstream opinions and mainstream ideas in any field, whether that field is politics or whether that field is nutrition or medicine or health, any of us who are suspicious about mainstream are going to find ourselves gravitating towards messages like Doc Wallach's or Alex Jones, and that's why I listen to both of those guys. And
well, mainstream has had its chance with us, and it's failed.
Utter failure.
You know, and for as long as I've known you, and much longer, Ben, you have not subscribed to the typical pharmaceutical way of dealing with medical challenges.
I've always found myself troubled by all mainstream messages, by all conservative messages, by all messages that empower the entrenched establishment. I've always found myself questioning that even as a child. I remember watching Spiro Agnew. I grew up in the Watergate era, and I always think that people form their worldview based on the era that they grow up in, the political era, what the zeitgeist was like, right? So my teeth were cut, so to speak, in the 1970s, the early 1970s. And I remember Spiro Agnew on TV going, and I followed politics even at a young age, even when I was 10 and 11 years old. And I remember Spiro Agnew saying, I will not resign. And then 2 weeks later, resigning.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, Nixon and the whole Watergate thing came about. And so from a very young age, I found myself very, very suspicious of the establishment and the establishment message, and then, of course, the pharmacy school, I looked out the medical model to be a very weak way of healing. And like you say, and like I said many times myself,
is that why you went to pharmacy school? Because you wanted to understand you could understand about mainstream?
No, I went to pharmacy school because I was fascinated with chemistry. I've always been fascinated with chemistry.
Oh, yeah, you're a biochemist, yeah.
Yeah, my thing is chemistry. And everything in a way is chemistry. Even us talking together right now is a type of chemistry. Chemistry is nothing more than how things go together. And it's a very powerful model. If you can understand how things link, the connections between things in all its domains, you can become very powerful in creating a conscious life in many facets. But the biochemical model is absolutely just enchanting to me. It's so delicious to see how the body links itself up through chemistry and through molecules. I mean, we're very glib about this idea about how the body works, but to delve deep inside of a cell and to see what happens from a biochemical perspective in a cell, let alone in an organ system or tissue system or in the body, is absolutely mind-blowing. And it gives you a sense of the immensity of our lives and the immensity of our realities that is, it's just religious in its experience. It is my religion, really. Chemistry and science is my religion in a certain way. That's how I go to Barnes & Noble and pull out biochemistry books on Sundays, and that's my church. Or books about the cosmos, and that's my church.
Yeah, this is fun. We're having fun at your expense. Pharmacist.
Are you making fun of me? I know.
No, I'm not. Well, Dave is typing on the screen behind your back. He says, does Ben ever breathe? And then he says, I don't think so. And then I say, no, he doesn't. Okay, Dave's telling me I need to do a book promo for Kay's book. We sold plenty of books, and then we stopped advertising them. It's almost as if we had sold out, and we still have close to 2,000 books to sell of Kay's commentary. And everybody who has bought that book has said it's the most worthwhile book they've ever read. Because there's just so much wisdom packed into that, you know.
Well, how do I buy a book?
Mom is going to be 90 years old here in a couple of weeks.
That's a lot of wisdom.
Yeah, and there's like 90 years of wisdom packed into that Kay's commentary book that you can buy at ksco.com. Or just come on down to the station because she's there right now. And there's not a whole lot of people. There's not a whole lot of people there, according to Dave's message on the screen. Now is a great time to speak with Kay for a minute or two, at the radio station and pick up a copy of the book that you've either paid for online or will buy when you're there. Either way, the easiest thing to do, especially if you want to use a credit card, is to go online to ksco.com and go to the website. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a picture of the book, of the book cover. You just click there and buy the book and then bring in the receipt. Or just don't even bother. But if you're going to use a credit card to buy it, that's the best way to do it, then just bring your receipt. Because we're not set up to take credit cards, you know, right there at the station today, not during business hours. So otherwise, you could use cash or a check, by coming to the – and of course, talk to Kay, who would like to talk to you and personally inscribe and autograph your book.
I'm buying a book right now. So I says click here to buy now. I have ship or pick it up. Okay, I see. Is this PayPal? You have PayPal on it?
Yeah, it's a PayPal thing.
Well, I'm buying my book right now.
Oh, cool, pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
One of the biggest reasons I'm buying this book is to have this beautiful picture of Kay. It's a great picture.
Yeah. Well, anyhow... So you can see meet Kay for yourself by coming down to the radio station. She'll be there during this program only between 10 and 12 because I know that she's got another appointment shortly thereafter. So she'll be dashing out after the radio program is over. But listen, let's segue into what's going on in Japan, Ben. You do so much reading. I know that because whenever I see you, out here, you're not allowed to talk to you for 3 hours while you're deeply ensconced in reading.
In the morning.
And you don't just read about health and nutrition and medicine and pharmacy stuff. You read about everything. In fact, I don't think I've ever talked to you about a book that you haven't read. I mean,
well, that's only because you're
the only reader I've ever met in my life.
Well, you've only talked to me about a couple of books.
So. Oh my God! So anyhow, so listen, what's your take on what's going on? What about this iodine scare and everything?
Yeah, I was telling you earlier. I wish I bought 2 pounds of potassium iodine when this whole thing came out. I didn't think of it.
Well, everybody's buying, and on the InfoWarsTeam.com site that we talked about, people are buying up Ocean's Gold and Balance Drops like crazy.
Yeah,
we're watching the sales volume, and it's just going insane.
How many of the Ocean's Gold left? They're going to be out of Ocean's Gold with all the people buying it. They'll get that pretty quick before they sell out of Ocean's Gold. I know you can't find iodine and you can't find kelp in a lot of places, is what my friends in Southern California were telling me.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, do you think people are rushing to get iodine or iodide products? Is that a wise thing to do, or is it an unnecessary thing to do? Is it an overreaction? What's going on?
There's so many levels you can approach this thing from. First of all, one of the most ironic things to me about this whole iodine panic that seems to be going on is I noticed that McDonald's is still staying open. And nobody's the fast food joints are still staying open, and it's not like people are worried about their health enough to start taking care of their how they eat and their immune systems. But everybody wants to get iodine. Still drinking the Diet Coke, still smoking the cigarettes, and still eating the crappy food. But everybody wants iodine.
Good point.
That's right, and that seems to be how we approach our health. When there's an emergency, we get all excited and we try to take care of meet our emergency needs. But then,
well, see, it could be compensatory also, maybe, as it is. For
maybe.
Years and years, one of the best outlets for the longevity premium quality health products has been the Bay Briar cigar store, tobacco store, in the little village of SoCal. Now, you wouldn't think that people who smoke would give a damn about their health, but I guess, in actuality, they figure, well, if I load up with these vitamins and minerals, maybe I won't kick off from lung cancer quite as quickly as I would otherwise. Which could be true.
Well, there is a point to be said that the more crap you put in your body, the more you do need nutritional supplementation.
Yeah.
But that doesn't diminish the ironic nature of the fact that people want this one heroic, and this is all it is a heroic emergency measure that people are all obsessing about with potassium iodide. Yet when it comes to protecting the immune system or building the body's detoxification system, that doesn't seem to be a point of focus for most people. However, I will say that this whole scare, this iodine scare and this nuclear scare, can serve a better purpose and a bigger purpose. If people use it to wake up to the idea, and this is really where we need to be focusing when it comes to detoxifying our bodies, if people wake up to the bigger idea that by giving your body certain levels, baseline levels of nutrients, you can bypass a lot of the toxicity.
What you should be doing anyway.
This is
even when there's not a nuclear accident across the world.
Absolutely. This is a running theme in nutrition. That is, the body will be much less likely to absorb the bad stuff when it's loaded up with the good stuff, and it's especially true with minerals. So that when you have a certain baseline level of, say, iodine, good iodine, your body won't take in bad iodine. When you have a baseline level of iron, your body will be less likely to take in radioactive materials like plutonium. When you have baseline levels of selenium, you'll be less likely to take in radioactive strontium. And we find this theme running throughout nutrition. So if we use this emergency, this scare, this tragedy, this disaster to wake up idea that there is a powerful modality called nutritional supplementation that is as available to us as easy as pushing a few buttons on the internet, then it will serve a wonderful purpose. And I encourage everybody to take advantage of this opportunity to change your lives around, at least your nutritional lives around, and start to integrate a good nutritional supplement program into your lives. I like longevity, but if it's not longevity, find some other program that you like. But please, if the more good stuff you put in your body, the less likely you'll be to take in the bad stuff. The longer you'll live, the better you'll feel.
So here's a question for you, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. What about if you do eat really fine high quality, unprocessed, natural food like I know you do. And we have some wonderful local places here that are locally owned and operated. Staff of Life and New Leaf Community Markets. They're both excellent, excellent
places. What about the big corporate?
I hate the big corporate. I don't even want to talk about them. You know that. I don't like big corporate anythings because they're not there for the people. They're there for their own bottom line.
Right.
And
that's why I like network marketing so well, by the way. That's one of my favorite part about the network marketing model.
Yeah.
Is that it's buying from your friends. It's helping your friends. It's friends reaching out to friends, grassroots.
But there are so many people out there, including medical doctors, who say that you do not need supplements if you eat right. Now, is that true or not
please,
true?
Please. That is such a hackneyed, trite piece of mythology. Nobody believes that who understands how the body works. Now, as far as physicians go, and I know I'm guilty of beating up on doctors, and I don't mean to do that, but as a pharmacist, one of the first things you learn when you graduate pharmacy school and go out to work in the real world of drugstores is that just because somebody has an MD after their name does not confer any sort of genius upon them. Not that they're not intelligent doctors. I don't mean to say that. But it's not necessarily linked to the degree, the MD, the medical deity degree. You can have dumb doctors, like you can have dumb plumbers or dumb anything, dumb pharmacists or radio people. So just because a doctor says something does not confer the stamp of sanctity upon what the doctor says. And I've heard doctors say really dumb things. So that aside, the medical model feels, for whatever reason, that nutritional supplementation is not, as a general trend, as a general consensus, feels like the medical, nutritional supplementation is not necessary. That's true.
And this is probably what they were taught in medical school.
It is what they were taught.
By the endowers of the medical school, the pharmaceutical companies.
Absolutely. And doctors have an agenda to push, and the medical community has an agenda to push. There's no doubt about it. But I want to be on record saying something very clearly. I wish we did not have to supplement. I wish we lived in the Garden of Eden where we could just pick the fruits and the vegetables and eat what was there and have wonderful nourishment. I wish that were the case. I don't like the idea that we have to somehow figure out how to strategically put biochemicals together in order to get a good baseline level of nutritional supplementation. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is the case. The soils are corrupt, which means the plants are corrupt, which means the animals that eat the plants are corrupt, which means we're not getting the nutrients we need. And you throw in on top of all of that the extra toxicity into the environment in the last 100 to 150 years, and we've created a situation where nutritional supplementation is a necessary evil. And I cannot tell you how many times I've seen people's blood pressure drop, their cholesterol drop, their weight drop, their energy levels increase, their immunity improve, their feeling better improve dramatically when they get on a nutritional supplement program. I witnessed it clinically with my own eyes. And so one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this, MZ, is not only because I see it from a theoretical perspective and not only because I've seen what it has done for me in my life, but because I see it from a clinical perspective. I see patients improve every marker of good health by getting themselves on a supplementation program. And so after seeing this over and over and over again for almost 30 years now, I have to be an idiot not to notice that there's a connection between nutritional supplementation and how people feel. So when I see it, I would be negligent. I would be guilty. I couldn't look myself in the mirror. But if I didn't stand on top of the roof and scream it to people, you got to get yourself on a nutritional supplement program. It's a must. It's not an option. If you want to be healthy and you want to be vital and you want to be 100% self-actualized, physically actualized.
Right. And, you know, the easiest way to do it, in an automated way is just go to InfoWarsTeam.com on the Internet. And, of course, there's a phone number there and so forth. Hey, we haven't even invited phone callers yet, but we have a number of them. And, you know, Dave, who's running things back at KSCO Central, must be really punchy because I understand he was up real late and then in real early today.
A little grumpy this morning.
Well, Dave Michaels is there, yeah. And so we have a caller, Stephen Aptos, who has a question or a question comment for you. Apparently he took your advice and now he's dead. Now that's what Dave. He has an odd sense of humor, but he crossed out dead and then wrote better. So let's bring Steve and Aptos on, and hope he's not dead.
Yeah, Dan.
Hey, Dave. It's that Steve. It's pleasure, yeah. Steve. Hi, pleasure, Steve.
Hey, Ben Fuchs. I talked to you about 6 months ago. Told you I had an elevated PSA. And then it got way up, and you gave me some advice and said, you know, do this, discipline yourself, change your eating habits, your lifestyle, become more active, work out at least 30 to 60 minutes a day. And my PSA got up to 7.8 a little while ago. And last week, no, 2 weeks ago, we had another blood test. I put off the... They wanted to do about 14 needle biopsies and a bunch of other stuff. And I kept saying, you know, hearing you in my background saying, Steve, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And I kept doing daily the things you told me to do. Yeah. And my PSA has crashed. It's cleared down.
Let everybody know that PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. Am I right, Ben?
Right. Health. And it's just a marker, by the way. We don't want to be confused by the markers and the real health of the tissue, but be that as it may, your PSA drops when you start to do some things. Is that what I heard you say?
Well, it took about, you know, 4 to 5 months, but it did. Drastically.
Good for you.
I'm in remission. I'm still doing what you said. I just want to thank you, buddy.
No, I thank you for saying that to everybody. And what you can do, the best thing you can do, Steve, is tell everybody, spread the word, make this go viral. This is a meme, a belief system that we want to spread to our friends and our family. And everybody who's noticed an improvement in their lives, and Steve, for you as well, the best good deed you can do is tell everybody about this powerful message that we can
That's
be in
right.
charge of. Thank you so much for sharing that, Steve. I appreciate
That's
that.
Right.
Appreciate
Thank
it, Steve.
You,
Take care. Here comes Ed in Santa Cruz. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I want you to know something. I hear this all the time. And this is why I do what I do. This is exactly why I do. When I get calls like this and I get letters like this and I get them all the time, it is so, I can tell you how beautiful it makes me feel, because that's what we're here, in my opinion. We're here on the planet to help each other out. And that's what makes our lives worthwhile. So for everybody out there who benefited from a nutritional supplement program, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody.
That's my cue to give your email address. It's ben@ksco.com.
Right, and my blog is pharmacistben.com, which is not as updated as often as I'd like, but it is updated.
That's a great blog, and you could see if you missed Ben's live presentation at Seacliff Inn last June in 2010, a video of it that Dr. Future filmed is posted there at pharmacistben.com. And I've never seen Ben do a speech that didn't get a standing ovation. Seriously. He's a really special guy, and he's a really nice person, too, as you can tell. And you're certainly welcome to call 479-1080 and talk with Ben on the Saturday special this morning for a little bit more here. But if you miss it, And you don't have to wait till the next time he's on the Saturday special or guest host, substitute host for Doc Wallach on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program, because Ben has his own program now on the ZBS/GCN radio networks. And we carry the program live Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. It actually starts at 8:06 a.m., Monday through Friday on KOMY on AM 1340. And Ben's show actually leads into the Alex Jones show live on KOMY. So just want to put that out a few times. Now, Ed in Santa Cruz, you want to talk about steroids and stuff floating over from Japan.
Yeah, cesium and plutonium and stuff.
Yeah. What do you know?
I guess I'm a radiation doubter. And the reason I say that is because you hear all the big important people on the big network saying that everything is safe, you know, that in fact I remember the big radio station in the Bay Area, they have this proponent of nuclear power that says the level of the stuff coming over here is 2 billion times less than the normal level or the safe level.
Are you talking about Bill Wattenberg?
That horrible guy, yeah.
You know, he was on with Mark Silverman on KSCO on Thursday.
Really?
Yeah. And yeah, it's a great program.
Do you just buy into everything that Mr. Wattlingberg says?
No, I don't.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's how I'm viewing these pro and con reports about doing anything. If I'm just going to take his number, 2 billion to one, below less than the safe level. But isn't it really true that what's in the air is teeny microscopic particles of cesium and plutonium if it gets worse? And sure, it comes over here, and so there's 2 billion cubic feet of air. If you're the unlucky person to get that one cubic foot of air that has that microscopic particle of plutonium, and you breathe it in or you eat it in a leaf of spinach, isn't it true that you're going to have something in your body that has a 50-50 chance of causing you cancer?
Well, you get cancer all the time. You know, you have mutations in your body all the time. It's just a question of whether your body handles it or not, and it's just a question of increasing the odds of getting cancer. Obviously, the more particles there are, the greater your odds. So you're really talking about probabilities and odds and statistics at all levels. And so people go out and they run out to get the radioactive iodine because they're scared of getting cancer. What they're forgetting is the likelihood of their getting their cancer is only increased. It's still slight. It's just an increase. It's not like everybody's going to be dropping dead of cancer because there's a vast cloud of toxic iodine that's floating over here. We're only talking about slight increases in the odds, and that's it. Then you have to ask, why is it that some people get it and others don't? And that is a key question. What we want to be figuring out is what is protecting the people who are being protected, because even if we have a radioactive cloud, it's only going to be a small percentage of people that suffer the effects. There's going to be people who do not suffer the effects, and we want to know what is it about those people prevents them from suffering the effects, and that's what we want to be focusing on. Everybody running out to get iodine needs to understand that we're only talking about a statistical probability and a very slight increase in that statistical probability, no matter what happens.
Well, I'm not speaking in favor of getting iodine. I think that's dangerous, but I might be speaking in favor of going to Brazil or something. But the other question I wanted to ask is, I have two doctors recently, one of whom says use a medication on skin that has steroids in it over a long period of time, and the other one says absolutely do not because it's so horrible. And I find that very confusing that two practicing doctors in this county are giving me up. I don't know how to deal with that.
Let me ask you, what are you treating?
It's an injury that came from shingles that's not healing.
Okay, let me talk to you about that. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but skincare happens to be my specialty.
Oh.
I've been doing skincare products for many years. I have two lines of very high-end skincare products that really provide the bulk of my income, and I lecture extensively on skincare.
Give the website, Ben. Give the website. Spell it out.
Well, I have several websites, but you can find the products on GetSanitas or Sanitas-skincare.com. That's the main website.
Sanitas,
Sanitas, like sanitation, sanitary, means good health in Latin. Sanitas-skincare.com. And I've been formulating products for many years, and I cut my teeth back in 1983 with Blistex Corporation, and I know a lot about skin. Let me tell you something about using steroids to treat skin. It is really bad medicine, and nothing underscores the abject failure, and I say that with great consciousness and great attention, the abject failure of what I call ambulatory medicine. That is medicine that is not designed for heroic or emergency measures, blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine, and steroid medicine, skin medicine. And nothing exemplifies the failure more than dermatology and skin care, and I'll tell you why. When you treat the skin topically, what you are treating is the resolution of whatever your particular healthcare issue is. It's the way the body has resolved the problem. It is the end. It is over. It is the excreta, the excretement of the body, of the biochemical dysfunction that's creating the disease state. So it would be like to treat your skin for a rash would be like if you had a stomach problem and the doctor told you to go to your stool in the toilet bowl and rub some cream on it, and that would treat your stomach. And you say, you're crazy. That's excretement. Well, the same thing is true about putting a cream on your skin. It's the excretement that you're treating. It's the end. In order to treat the skin effectively, you have to treat it at the beginning where the biochemical dysfunction takes place. And steroid medicine is especially egregious because the steroid simply shuts down your immune system. That's how steroids work. All steroids, their mechanism of action is to suppress the immune reaction, the immune system. So when a doctor tells you to put a steroid cream on something that's not healing, if that steroid cream is suppressing the immune system, that alone tells you the silliness, the fallaciousness of the thinking. So your doctor is telling you not to go near a steroid cream is absolutely correct. So then the question becomes, why are you not healing? That's the operative question. What is going on with your body's healing process that is preventing it from taking place? And so I would be focusing on your body's, number one, rebuilding mechanisms, and that could involve protein and a few other things. And I would be focusing on building your immune system, strengthening your immune system. And this gets me into something I call the triangle of disease. And MZ, I was telling you about this earlier this week.
Yeah.
All disease states, whether they're hypertension or headaches or fibromyalgia or arthritis or cardiovascular issues or weight gain issues or skin issues, no matter what your symptomology is, you can backtrack it to 3 points in the body. 3 points. And by backtracking it to these 3 points, which I call the triangle of disease, you get leverage over every one of your symptomologies. The alternative is to try to treat each symptom that shows up. And by the way, I guarantee you, Ed, what's your name?
Yes.
I guarantee you, Ed, you have other symptoms too. That's not the only symptom that you have. You may have a digestive condition. You may have a blood pressure condition. There's something else going on in your body, and you don't need to say it on the air, but you know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. So you don't just have that condition without having other conditions as well. And the medical model would treat each symptom individually. The triangle of disease model that I'm talking about here allows you leverage, because by treating these 3 points, all of your symptoms automatically fall into line, causally. So they fall into line because they're effects of a certain cause. So you can actually literally cure your disease, but better than cure, because cure implies that you were sick. I don't even think you're sick. I think you're starving. So let's go backtrack to your skin issues, to the triangle of disease, okay? Your skin issue is a suppression of the immune system. Somehow your body is not fighting something. It's not healing correctly. When the immune system is suppressed, something has activated the body's inflammatory and immune system. Whenever you have an immune activation and an inflammatory activation, you always have a digestive condition. They're linked. You cannot have an immune or inflammatory activation except for maybe mechanical trauma, like if you fall or something along those lines. You cannot have a biochemical immune or inflammatory activation without a digestive problem. So, Ed, you have a digestive condition. You have gas, bloating, heartburn, discomfort, loose stools, anything, any kind of digestive condition. That's what I would ask you.
I see. Okay. Well, I do have something like that only on rare occasions if I don't eat smartly.
Ever. You should never have a digestive condition. So what we want to do is we want to figure out what is putting your digestive system on alert. The only time something gets into the body to activate the immune system, there's only 3 places it can happen from. It can happen either through the skin, which is rare because the skin is a very robust barrier. It can happen through the respiratory system, which, again, is rare. The third place where most immune activation occurs is in the digestive system. So if you're noticing rare digestive problems, what I would suggest to you is there may be some digestive conditions that you're not noticing, because we become transparent to our digestive problems, especially if we've had them all our lives, and many of us have had our digestive conditions all our lives. So you need to do something. The only way to really accurately assess what's happening in the digestive system is to do something called a food diary. And that's where you get a notebook and you write down everything you eat for a week, and then have columns next to what you ate, and see it and mark how you feel every 2 hours after you eat, every 3 hours after you eat, every 12 hours after you eat, and jot it down. And what you'll notice is, gosh, every time I have potatoes, I bloat, or every time I have bread, I get gas, or every time I have tomatoes, I have heartburn, whatever. You'll start to notice trends. And then you need to eliminate the foods that are problematic, stick with the foods that are not problematic, and then you want to begin to repair the gut, the digestive tract. And the best way to do that is with nutritional supplementation, probiotics, digestive enzymes. There's something called glutamine, essential fatty acids, zinc. There's a whole sequence of nutritional supplements that are important to take for digestive integrity. So believe it or not, your skin issue, almost 100%, I won't say 100% because there's got to leave room for a little uncertainty in the body, but almost 100% it's linked to your digestive problems. I'd be shocked to see if you correct your digestive problems I'd be shocked if you did not correct your skin issue as well. And
Ed,
on top of that, you add years to your life.
Ed.
Yes.
Did you lie?
Did I lie?
Yeah, it says here you wanted to talk about stuff floating over from Japan, and I haven't heard anything about that.
What about the plutonium I talked about?
Oh.
Protect yourself with iron. Make sure you're getting enough iron. Iron is protective against plutonium.
Yeah, yeah.
Supplemental iron.
Oh. Okay.
But
and I went to this. Yeah. I went to this website. It actually was hard to find because it's Sanitas-Skincare. Is that correct?
Yes. Sanitas-Skincare.com.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's important. But I didn't find your name here anywhere.
You know, they're trying to disconnect me. I have a business partner who doesn't like my celebrity status.
Uh oh. But you're going to be on the radio, so that's not a problem.
Well, until she turns it on and listens to me.
Well, that would work.
And then I'm going to be living on MZ's couch after that.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Ed in Santa Cruz, thank you so much for your call
to the
Saturday special. Dave wants to know if you bought Kay's book yet.
I haven't gotten to the website yet.
Not you. Oh, not you. Ed. Ed hung up. I don't think Ed's going to buy Kay's book because I don't think Ed likes Kay's politics. I don't think. But I could be wrong. All right. Now, Lee and Spressels. Lee and Spressels is coming up. Hi, Lee and Spressels.
My people that have touched my life, Michael W. L. Whirling, you brought Dr. Wallach to me. You brought Druggist Ben to me. Druggist Ben introduced me to high vibration, deep colors. You now brought Alex Jones to me, but I would like to bring something to you all to weigh and consider very much. What Alex has brought to me is that there's six reactors over there. There's five of them that are potentially could melt down, maybe the six because they're all together. He had someone on that, an English man from England that is high in the nuclear industry and was shocked to find in 1965 or something like that, there was a meltdown in Russia and that reactor equated to a 350-mile dead zone in Russia that's there today. And I heard Dr. White talk about using a fireboat to help to put the cool the reactors. Well, can't do that. Druggist Ben will know that the salt in there would accelerate the oxidation or deterioration of those rods. But I was talking to a friend of mine who's French, and he led me to another Frenchman that is connected to the French atomic industry, and he said that they have a gel that they can put down in a core like that and cool it down, right? Just, you know, get right with it. The Japanese may be seeing a serious dollar issue to do that, but if this isn't canceled, the multiplication of numbers is going to drive this thing nuts, and then we're going to see these particulate, as this gentleman caller just equated to, and I'm not going to do any more talking, but I just say this, that if we could get a message to Alex and push the Japanese to do it, because if it isn't put out, a nuclear doesn't get smaller, it accelerates. That's enough, right? But I just appreciate you, and I want you to know I appreciate your mom. Haven't bought the book yet, but I am going to get one of those books, and
You could. There's two ways to buy it online, where we'll ship it to you. It's a little more money, you know, because you pay shipping and handling. Or you just buy it there and then bring the receipt in to the radio station during business hours at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. any weekday, or these special Saturdays when Mom is there to sign the book for people who come up there.
I will look forward to it. And I thank you so much for the time just to – I mean, I'll look forward to hearing what you all may – see and do, but if you can get a message to Alex that there's something there, I mean, I don't know of any other answer that we've ever seen, and Chernobyl was just one stinking little bitty reactor, you know?
We'll see what we can do. Hey, thank you very
God bless
much,
you all.
Lee and Spressels.
Thank you.
Yeah, God bless you, too. Tommy and Seaside, you're on KSCO on
Hello.
The Saturday special. Hey there.
Yes. I have a question for pharmacist Ben.
Yes.
I am taking a lot of supplements. I'm 68 years old.
Okay.
I've had a knee replacement. And I've got a really bad foot. I've got some injuries, from my youth that are coming back to haunt me. At any rate, I'm taking D3. I'm taking CoQ10. I'm taking Cholestoff and all these things. I was an Amway distributor back in the 80s and 90s, but it interests me that I might be able to take something and be in a business at the same time, and benefit other people. Anyway,
I agree.
What I'm getting to here in a roundabout way is, I'd like to know if the longevity products, the 90 essentials and, the EFAs, could replace all of these different things that I'm running around buying at different places to get, a good product. Can you tell me if those products, if you have products that will replace those products and I can get them in one place and it can be my own business where I buy them from?
Well, it depends on, I'd have to know exactly what you're taking, but I can tell you that you could pretty much meet most of your regular basic nutritional needs with a company like Longevity. I don't know specifically what you're taking and how it would all match up, but if you just have regular basic needs, absolutely.
Oh,
but,
okay,
why don't you send me an email in the interest of time? Send me an email.
I don't have access to a computer,
oh,
sir.
Okay, go ahead.
What I'm taking is vitamin D3.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy, we're not going to use the time for that. I'm sorry. We're doing something else right now.
Can you give him my phone number off the air? Why don't you get my phone number from MD off the air, and I'll talk to you in person?
Okay, thank you.
That's great.
Good deal,
we'll put you on hold here, and you can Dave, you can give Tommy
Dave, give my phone number. Give Tommy my cell phone, and I'll talk to you in person.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and I'm amazed at how many people don't have access to computers, but I think a lot of them who think they don't have access to computers do, unless they don't have a single friend or a relative in the world. And I don't know of a single human being who has no friend and no relative who might have access to a computer. But anyhow, all right, you're listening to the Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. We're speaking with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, who now does his daily Bright Side program nationwide and is carried on KOMY AM 1340 each weekday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., leading into the Alex Jones live show, which runs from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, opposite Rush Limbaugh on AM 1080 KSCO. So, we're going to be on the air right up until noontime, as we generally are, as we always are with the Saturday Special. And next hour, we're going to have a guest named Linda May. And when we come back from the commercial break, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Linda, and then we'll finish up with Ben. And if you want to give us a call, you'll be able to talk to Ben before the end of the hour. Anyhow, I think Ben has to leave after that. But our number is 479-1080. And Dave, you're back at KSCO Central. You're going to play the commercials. And thanks for keeping me alert here. Take care. We'll be back after these words.
If you work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools. Saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webbs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020. 475-1020.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring, from Mexico, tender green asparagus, $1.88 a pound, and large gala apples from Washington, 89 cents a pound. From South America, we have sweet, juicy, ripe pineapple, 2 for $3, and Driscoll blackberries, 6-ounce baskets, 2 for $4. Also, California Driscoll red or gold raspberries, baskets, are $2.99. Nothing better than a fresh berry on top of ice cream or in your favorite bowl of cereal. In organics, we have Washington D'Anjou pears, 99 cents a pound, and Fuji apples, 99 cents a pound. We also have two special buys for the weekend. Local grown cauliflower, large size, $1.69 each. And California sweet and juicy Mineola tangelos, 69 cents a pound. So come and check our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Market.
This is a Kay's Book Alert. You might think we're sold out. Well, we're not. We bought tons of the wonderful book in anticipation of crushing demand. And to be sure, we did have a hugely successful 20th anniversary party / Kay's book signing event at KSCO last February 12th. And we did sell plenty of Kay's autographed books, but nothing after that. Well, duh, we haven't run any ads for you people to buy them. The book after that. You can still do it and should, because it makes a great gift for yourself or for anyone whom you want to make smarter. This just in, Kay will be here at KSCO herself in person this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon during the Saturday special to sign more books. Come on down and get your own copy or two, only $25 each. Buy it at the station or buy it online at KSCO.com and bring your receipt. And remember, 100% of the proceeds go to support your favorite radio station so we can keep getting better and better. Come to KSCO Studios, 2300 Portola Drive, Santa Cruz, and get your book of Kay's commentaries this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
Hello, Bill Teisling here for the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce with an invitation for you to join us Wednesday, March 23rd for the 22nd annual Santa Cruz Business Fair at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. This year, we'll have over 100 booths and tables exhibiting the best of the Santa Cruz business community. Get in on the fun and hear some good news about all the businesses being started in Santa Cruz, like True Olive Connection and the truly exciting Redwood Canopy Zipline Tours. Get in on the food and drink, and lots of it, as Santa Cruz area restaurants, breweries, and wineries offer up some of their best to tantalize your taste buds. Hey, and get this. Derby Girls on Wheels will be selling raffle tickets for a new iPad. What fun. Above all, get in on all the people Wednesday between 4 and 7 p.m. at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on Beach Street. Sponsored by the Santa Cruz Redevelopment Agency, Bay Federal, Rabobank, Valley Yellow Pages, Dominican Hospital, Red Tree Properties, Physicians Medical Group, and our friends at KSCO.
Electrical fires cause about 68,000 home fires each year, and every week, 2 to 3 families are chased from their Monterey Bay Area homes by fire. Most home fires are caused by electrical problems. How safe is your home? To find out, join me, Michael Olson, Sunday at 2 p.m. for JM Electric's Current Safe Hour. We'll talk to the experts from JM Electric who will tell us why electrical fires start, how we can spot electrical troubles before they catch fire, and how you can get a free in-home assessment of your electrical system. Join us Sunday at 2 p.m. on KSCO.
Okay, they say I'm on. I mean, Dave said I'm on. And when Dave says I'm on, I'm on. And now I'm going to push a button and make Ben Fuchs on, too.
Hey.
Are you on, Ben Fuchs?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. So, yeah, listen, I'm going to give out the phone number, 479-1080. And there's a little bit of time this hour left to talk to Ben, like Jacqueline in Monterey wants to.
And if you miss me, call me in the morning on the bright side.
Yeah, you'll just listen and you'll hear the number. Go ahead, Jacqueline, you're on the air.
Hi, we travel lots. I'm in my 60s. I'm diabetic and a diabetic ulcer, foot ulcer. It's healing nicely. However, I do have digestive issues. And I love Kay's Whirling, and I will buy her book. Decided this morning.
Bless you, because that'll really help the radio station. Every book we sell, 100% of it goes to KSCO. We need,
well, consider
we need every penny we got, because we don't have the government like NPR does, at least for a little while.
Well, good. I'm glad that you don't have the government.
Funding us as well.
Oh, I see. I understand. But okay. I'll fund you in any way I can.
Bless you.
Yep. Right now, the digestive concerns.
This is terrible. I hate to do this. There's only 8 seconds left for the news, so we'll hold you over. Ben will stay for a couple more minutes. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Stay with us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. The French Defense Ministry says the first shot has been fired in the international campaign to enforce the no-fly zone over Libya. The French say one of its fighter jets fired on a Libyan military vehicle. For the latest, let's go live to Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley.
Karen, a French official saying that that French fighter jet did fire on the Libyan military vehicle in Libya. The strike reportedly just recently. The French confirming that it was a military vehicle, but it's unclear what kind. This appears to be the first confirmed international strike against Gaddafi's forces after the no-fly zone implemented by the UN Security Council and backed by both Western and Arab governments today at the talks in Paris. Reports coming out of eastern Libya saying Gaddafi has not upheld the ceasefire, with terrified residents fleeing Benghazi and gunfire and explosions being heard there. A military source also telling Fox News that U.S. forces were not involved in this first strike. Karen?
Courtney, thank you. President Obama is watching the situation from his trip to Latin America.
Respecting the fact that Brazil did not support the Libyan no-fly zone, President Obama kept his remarks about it here in Brasilia brief. He said the coalition of European, Arab, and North American countries behind it are resolved to protect the people of Libya.
In the absence of an immediate end to the violence against civilians, our coalition is prepared to act.
Now, the U.S. role in this is still developing, but U.S. officials say they will start out in more of a supporting role, and they say there are no plans for U.S. ground troops. In Brasilia, traveling with the president, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Crews in Japan rushing to repair the damaged nuclear reactors around the Fukushima nuclear plant.
Engineers there say they've connected a half-mile-long power cable to the plant now. This could be crucial because it could help power up the control systems of that plant.
That's Fox News Radio's David Piper. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light. Boston gets its own Rocky in this week's Fox Light DVD release roundup. This time, Mark Wahlberg is the underdog pugilist getting a shot at the title in The Fighter. Christian Bale is his brother slash trainer, and they battle demons in and out of the ring. Who should miss this film? Not you, not you, and not you. Matt Damon is a blue-collar man with unwanted psychic ability in the Clint Eastwood-directed Hereafter. And Bryce Dallas Howard and Cecile DeFrance each have questions only Damon can reluctantly answer. Jennifer Aniston goes the sperm donor route, and years later, her neurotic best friend Jason Bateman is discovered to be the father in The Switch. Also starring Patrick Wilson and Jeff Goldblum. There's more, and it's only in the Fox Light blog and podcast at foxnewsradio.com. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk. The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk. The effects of radiation in Japan now could be felt for years to come.
The nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl happened in 1986, and even now, 25 years later, there is still a health risk. A study by the National Cancer Institute says people who ate contaminated milk or cheese as children are at risk of thyroid cancer. The problem is radioactive iodine that ends up in the thyroid gland. That's why doctors suggest people who may have been exposed take potassium iodide tablets, which would help block the radioactive iodine. I'm Kirsten McNary, Fox News Radio.
In California, a man in his late 60s has died in a chain reaction crash on a snowy Interstate 80 in the Sierra Nevada. The sheriff says Douglas Swazi died in that crash. It involved at least 40 vehicles, including six semis. More than a dozen others were hurt, none seriously. Experts not exactly seeing eye to eye over a new video game.
A new video game device from Nintendo has some optometrists optimistic.
3D games, photos, entertainment, and more. No glasses required. Nintendo 3DS. Take a look inside.
These eye specialists dismiss Nintendo's warnings that the 3D screen shouldn't be used by children 6 or younger because it may harm their immature vision. These optometrists say it won't do any harm and it could help catch vision disorders that have to be caught early to be fixed, like amblyopia or lazy eye. But members of another group of eye specialists, ophthalmologists who aren't medical doctors, caution that while it's not impossible that it could help, it's all just speculation for now. Sal G. and Grasso, Fox News Radio.
Lloyd Oliver was a Native American and a Marine in World War II. During his service, he became one of the legendary code talkers, Marines who developed a code based on the Navajo language that helped win the war. Oliver was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal in 2001. Oliver has died at a hospice outside Phoenix. Military records say he was 87. There is only one code talker left from the original group of 29. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got to tune. Oh, good morning. You've got to tune into AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, March 19th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. We'll start off with your weather forecast for today. Showers are likely, as well as possible thunderstorms. Also, a small chance of seeing some hail out there. Highs will be around 57 degrees, along with southwest winds 13 to 20 miles per hour. Winds could gust as high as 25 miles per hour. Windy conditions sticking around throughout tonight as well. Well, showers should also be counted on, with overnight lows around 48 degrees. Showers and windy conditions planned for Sunday as well. Your boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming south 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet and west swells 8 to 10 feet every 14 seconds, along with showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. We're going to move on to traffic now, starting off in Santa Cruz County. Southbound Highway 17 at Laurel Road, a traffic hazard reported just about 5 minutes ago. Looks like a stalled vehicle out there. They have called for a tow truck to remove that vehicle. Over on the other side of the hill, only one incident to report. Northbound 280 just south of Lawrence Expressway, a traffic collision reported at 1104. Still waiting for details on that incident. Outside KSCO Studios, it is 49 degrees. It's also wet out there, but don't let that stop you from coming down to the station and picking up your book. Kay's Whirling is out there right now signing autographs when you pick up your book. KSCO time is now 11:06. MZ should be here somewhere. Are you there?
But as you pointed out to me, Dave, Kay isn't out in the rain.
No, she's not out in the rain, no.
She's inside. So
yes.
Lest you thought that you'd have to be outside in the rain to talk to Kay, that's not the case.
Not at all.
All right, good. So, and the address is 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. Okay, now, let's see. Let's officially start hour number two. And I think I do it by pressing this button. See? There it is. Yeah.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
We have Jacqueline in Monterey. We have Rebecca in Santa Cruz and Sunshine in Santa Cruz to talk to Ben. But that's all we can handle for Ben today.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Just so you know where you are for sure.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
We're serious about that. Yeah, we're absolutely serious about that. Now, Dave, do we not have the latest Kay's commentary, which is the best one I think she's ever done?
We do have that. I have
would
it ready
you,
to go right here.
Play it. It's just a couple minutes, then we'll go back to the phone calls and we'll let poor Ben get going here because he's got a lot of things to do today.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Dear listeners of KSCO, for the most part, I feel we're like a family who have bonded together through the years and care deeply about human and worldly issues. What's happening to our brethren in Japan as we speak is so horrendously dangerous and painful, and we care very much, and yet we are fully aware that their experiences could be happening to us. Can it be that God is angry with the world he created? Can he be disappointed with his handiwork when he expected we humans would be good to one another? And he's feeling that as time goes by, we are becoming more and more corrupt, insensitive, unkind, and even downright cruel to each other. Perhaps these catastrophes in Japan are God's way of saying to us, shape up and start treating each other humanely so that I can be proud of my creation, or I shall wipe out this world and start all over again. why Japan was the country to experience all this pain now is an answer we do not know. Perhaps Japan's character was the ideal country to handle and withstand God's threat. Because through this amazing, painful week, we learn some admirable characteristics about the Japanese. The people of Japan have displayed an amazing strength of character, honor, pride, calm awareness, and astonishing independence and strength in this hurtful time, and are wonderful role models for the rest of us. For them, looting has been unthinkable. Perhaps through them, God is telling the world again, shape up and do it right or else. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow. That should be heard by a lot of people, I think. Thanks, Ma. That's fantastic. Okay, back to the Saturday special, beginning of hour number two. Ben, you there? Ben, are you back? Hello, Ben.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
Now we can hear you.
Hey, that was Kay's best. That was the best one I've ever heard. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was a really, really beautiful and inspiring Saturday Kay's message.
Yeah, I got a great idea from a real good friend who runs the Genesis Communications Network. He said that we need to do a Kay's Whirling YouTube channel.
Yes, I agree.
Her commentaries up on YouTube,
and then
they will go viral. Anyhow, so Ben, we were talking with Jacqueline in Monterey, and I know you've got to go.
Cut to the chase here. Yeah, Jacqueline, is Jacqueline there?
Yeah, she's here. Right
Jacqueline,
now.
Listen, Jacqueline, I wish I had more time to talk to you, and feel free to shoot me an email at ben@ksco.com.
And
listen to my radio program too as well, The Bright Side, which is all archived, by the way.
Okay.
Well, it's not yet, but it will be. Yeah.
Your email address again?
Ben@ksco.com.
Okay.
Okay, but let me just real tell you quick, cut to the chase here. You got to correct the digestive problems. Anything else that you do on top of a dysfunctional digestive system is like bailing water out of a leaky boat. You may be able to hang in there for a little bit, but eventually you're going to sink.
Okay.
So what you need to do is track down first and foremost, and this is for anybody listening out there who has any problems as simple as a burp. You need to backtrack and figure out what foods are triggering a digestive response. The only way to do that, because the brain has a way of becoming transparent to its disease states, we forget we have certain things, especially if we've had them for a long time. You got to write down what you eat, and then next to it how you feel 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours afterwards.
Okay.
And notice a trend. You'll notice things that you'll be astonished at what you find out, because there'll be things that you never knew you were reacting to, and you'll see it on paper. So you need to eliminate those foods and then concentrate on the foods you're okay with, and then you want to start to repair the digestive tract. Probiotics are an absolute essential. They're not optional for any digestive issues. They're also known as good bacteria. It's the longevity products. Get the Flora FX. And then you want to make sure that you're getting enough of something called glutamine, and that's spelled GLUTAMINE. And I don't like the pills. I like the powder. It's much more economical. Do a teaspoon, put it in water, drink it down every day. And then you want to make sure you're taking digestive enzymes with every meal. And if you really want to go all out, get an extra special digestive enzyme. It's called pancreatin. And pancreatin isn't found in digestive enzyme products by themselves. You have to buy them separately. And then if you want to really pull out all the stops, get essential fatty acids and zinc as well, and try to drink as much of your nutrition as possible. The less digested, less solid food you put in your digestive tract, easier it is on your digestive system. So smoothies, vegetable juices, get yourself a Vitamix and juice vegetables, any kind of liquid nutrition you can do, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity, any liquid nutrition you can do to help get yourself nutrients without having to break it down in the digestive tract.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much for calling, and shoot me an email, and I'll be glad to elaborate on any of that.
One more thing. Kay Swirling, her explanation of the over 70s, there being younger people living longer who could benefit. I have told that story innumerable times to let people throughout the world. I've been to Syria, I've been to England, and I just talked to everybody. That one thing lets them know where our government is coming from.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Rebecca in Santa Cruz, you have a question for Ben.
Good morning.
Hi.
My first time calling in to, is it Pharmacist Ben?
Yeah, welcome to KSCO. He's got a regular program on AM 1340, our sister station, Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. live.
AM 1340.
So you can talk to him anytime you want then.
Okay.
But yeah.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Good morning. I wanted to make a first comment on Kay Swirling's commentary a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
That was absolutely fabulous.
It was.
She hit the nail on the head.
I concur.
Okay, so I have a son in Indiana that got shot in the back, and he's crippled now. He's in a wheelchair, so he's got pressure sore that's about the size of a quarter or an old, you know, those old Ben Franklin silver dollars?
Yeah.
50-cent pieces? It's a little bit smaller than that, and so he's been in the hospital twice now. What can I help him take?
Okay. I'll tell you a couple things. First of all, if he has some kind of spinal injury, he may have some impairment in how he processes nutrients through his digestive tract. So that's a little bit above and beyond nutritional supplementation if there's any kind of neural impairment that concerns the digestive system. Mm-hmm. However, what I would suggest for you is a product called Topical C, and that's a fat-soluble vitamin C product that's got tremendous healing properties. And if you shoot me an email with your address, I will send you a tube of that, compliments of Sanita Skincare.
Topical C?
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you with my compliments.
What is your email?
Yeah, Ben, B-E-N, at KSCO.com.
S is in Sam, C is in Cruz.
Okay.
I'll send it out to you.
How can we get the tissue to start covering over and healing that wound?
Well, the topical vitamin C will go a long way towards doing that. You will need to make sure that you're getting some digestive nutrients. The most important thing for accelerating the healing process in that case is essential fatty acids. However, I can tell you, got any digestive impairment, especially in the small intestine, he's going to have a problem absorbing those fats. So try to get him on a good liquid essential fatty acid supplement. There's several out there, one called Udo's Blend, which is my favorite. And that can go a long way towards healing the wound. Also, zinc supplements are very important for healing. 50 milligrams of zinc a day.
How many?
50.
Okay.
50. And then as much vitamin C as he can tolerate, even up to 5-6 grams a day in a liquid would be great. And if you want a nice all-around liquid supplement, get the Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. But it's a little more complicated than that because I'm concerned that he may have some problems with absorption secondary to any kind of neural problems around his wound. But if you send me an email, I can elaborate a little bit more.
Great.
Okay, what's your name, ma'am?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, great. Send me an email, and it takes me a couple days to get back to some of these emails because I get so many, but I will guarantee get back to you.
Yes, okay. God bless you.
God bless you as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rebecca. Here's Sunshine in Santa Cruz. A question for Ben.
Sunshine, my famous Sunshine?
Yeah.
Sunshine.
Hi, I don't know if I'm that famous, but this is a question for Ben on my skin. What's a good treatment for psoriasis, and is dandelions good because of the liver? I think.
I like herbs. We wildcraft them here in Colorado, and I do herbal tinctures. But I use them secondary to nutrition because the body has to still process herbs as if they're medicines. And first, I like working with nutrients. Psoriasis is your classic immune system. Immune system dysfunction that shows up on the skin. It is a number one, first and foremost, an immune condition. Something is triggering the body's immune system, usually through the digestive tract. So there's two, treating psoriasis is a three-part strategy. First and foremost, always, eliminate digestive triggers. And I'm not going to go into the food diary thing. We talked about that earlier, but that's the way you find out what your digestive triggers are. They have to be eliminated. Secondly, you need to take in supplements, specifically fatty supplements, essential fatty acids, vitamins A, and vitamins D. Those are the three main supplements, and then secondarily, zinc is also very important for healing psoriasis. So essential fatty acids, especially from fish, by the way, fish oil, vitamin A and vitamin D, and then zinc. And then topically, you can also use, there's some wonderful treatments topically for psoriasis. They're not going to cure anything, but they'll help alleviate the symptomology. Topical vitamin A, topical vitamin D, topical zinc,
This is all right on top of the psoriasis system, the plaques themselves. And then something called NAC, which stands for N-acetylcysteine. You can put that topically right on, break open a capsule, put it in with your oils, your vitamin A oil, your vitamin D oil, and even with the zinc, and rub it in as often as you can. You can do it 3 or 4 times a day.
And you buy that as a cream?
Yeah, well, no, you have to mix it all up together. There's no creams that have that. You have to make your own.
So and can I get that at the Whole Foods store?
You're not going to find it. You can buy all the supplements there, but you're not going to find a cream like that. What you do is you take a vitamin A capsule,
mm-hmm.
take a vitamin D capsule,
mm-hmm.
and then break open your NAC, which is a powder, and
mm-hmm.
kind of mix it up with the oils that you just put in from the vitamin A and D.
Uh-huh.
Same with the zinc, and rub it all in. Rub it in, you get like a paste, like an oily paste, and you
mm-hmm.
rub it right into the plaque. But that's,
okay.
again, that's just symptomatic relief. The key is the digestive system and the internal supplementation.
And Ben, correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot of this at your blog, pharmacistben.com.
Yes, a lot. Even I have a special thing on psoriasis on my blog, too.
Okay,
pharmacistben.com. But if you have any further questions, and for everybody out there listening who I didn't get to speak to today, Ben at KSCO.com. Give me a few days to get your email. Sometimes it takes me a while, but I will get to everybody. And then listen to my program.
And it's a two-way interactive program where you can call Ben at the phone number that he'll give out Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time, our local time, on KOMY AM 1340. Ben, thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And thanks for staying
pleasure.
Over.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you so much, Sunshine.
Okay,
have a beautiful
Sunshine,
day.
Okay, Sunshine, there you go.
MZ, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks for everything you do, and have a beautiful day, bro.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Right,
have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
There goes Ben. There goes Sunshine. Here comes Chris in Watsonville. Hi, Chris. You're on the air on KSCO.
Hey, MZ.
Hey.
Yeah, this is Chris. Yeah, I wrote a jingle for you guys, and you guys played it. No, I just wonder if you heard it yet or not.
Play the jingle. Can you play it for us over the phone?
No, I'd have to do some rewinding of the tape and all that, and that would take too long, probably.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you know, Rosemary knows where it is. She's got a CD of it somewhere.
Okay. Well,
I think you'll like it. You're going to dig it.
I'm sure we'll try to do it. It's good that you called. Okay.
Okay.
We'll try to, there's a million other things on our mind here. So
I know. All this radiation coming this way. This is our second day of getting dosed with it. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm just wondering, is this stuff going to be building up over here or not? You
well,
know?
The next guest is going to be able to answer that question. Okay.
Cool.
So be sure to stay tuned for the rest of this program.
Yeah.
We're going to have Linda May. I'm going to tell you who Linda May is in just a minute. But right now we're going to have a commercial break, and Dave's going to play the commercial set for this hour. Then we're going to come back and finish up. But right before we go to the commercials, there's about 40 minutes left for you to come to KSCO and pick up your copy of Kay's commentary book. It's called For KSCO, I'm Kay's Commentary. You can come by and buy it at the station with a check or cash. Or if you want to use a credit card, go online and go to ksco.com and click on the book cover on the homepage. You can't miss it. It's on the right. And buy it that way. And just buy the pickup version so you don't have to pay for shipping or anything. Okay, Chris, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
All right.
And let's see. Dave, I guess you can take it away, and we'll be back right after this commercial break.
Winter is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long, dark nights. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Lane LeCompte, and I live in Soquel. My home is about 45 years old. There were a lot of things I was wondering how my home was still standing. And I just want to make sure that my home is safe. Oh, they came out. They were wonderful. They really took care of everything, of all of the items we had. Yes, I sleep very well after the work that they did.
Don't wait until you blow a circuit. Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric, 422-7819. That's 422-7819. Or jmelectric.com and tell them Charlie sent you.
Our house is a very, very, very fine Real estate can be really confusing these days, but we make it easy to understand on Open House Radio. Hello, I'm Renee Mello, host of Open House. Each Saturday at 2 p.m., we reach into all the neighborhoods of the local real estate market and talk our way through appraisals, financing, inspections, offers, closings, with all kinds of real estate experts. Join me, Renee Mello, for Open House Radio Saturday, 2 p.m. on KSCO.
Hello, Bill Teisling here for the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce with an invitation for you to join us Wednesday, March 23rd for the 22nd annual Santa Cruz Business Fair at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on Beach Street in Santa Cruz. This year, we'll have over 100 booths and tables exhibiting the best of the Santa Cruz business community. Get in on the fun and hear some good news about all the businesses being started in Santa Cruz, like True Olive Connection and the truly exciting Redwood Canopy Zipline Tours. Get in on the food and drink, and lots of it, as Santa Cruz area restaurants, breweries, and wineries offer up some of their best to tantalize your taste buds. Hey, and get this. Derby Girls on Wheels will be selling raffle tickets for a new iPad. What fun. Above all, get in on all the people Wednesday between 4 and 7 p.m. at the Coconut Grove Ballroom on Beach Street. Sponsored by the Santa Cruz Redevelopment Agency, Bay Federal, Rabobank, Valley Yellow Pages, Dominican Hospital, Red Tree Properties, Physicians Medical Group, and our friends at KSCO.
Electrical fires cause about 68,000 home fires each year, and every week, 2 to 3 families are chased from their Monterey Bay Area homes by fire. Most home fires are caused by electrical problems. How safe is your home? To find out, join me, Michael Olson, Sunday at 2 p.m. for JM Electric's Current Safe Hour. We'll talk to the experts from JM Electric who will tell us why electrical fires start, how we can spot electrical troubles before they catch fire, and how you can get a free in-home assessment of your electrical system. Join us Sunday at 2 p.m. on KSCO.
Hey, Dave, may I ask you a personal question?
Sure, sure.
Did you have corned beef and cabbage on the recent St. Patty's Day?
No, I missed out on that.
You did?
Yeah, I missed out on that.
What, is it something
I did get drunk, though.
You did get drunk. You didn't miss out on that. Well, listen, I'm holding in my hand uncured corned beef brisket.
Oh, man.
Fully cooked, heat and serve, in a shrink wrap, you know, plastic, you know, packaging.
And you're telling me this because you know I'm hungry, right? Because I
wrote
you that.
Maybe I can bring some of this to you because it is so good. I got this. They're not even an advertiser. They're a former advertiser, Trader Joe's. I have never had corned beef this good in my life. It's not too salty. It's uncured, which means no nitrates, no nitrites added, and no MSG added, and it's not too salty, and it's as lean as can be, and it's also as tender as can be. And I had a sneaking suspicion. They were sampling this at Trader Joe's a few days ago, and so I had a sample. It was so delicious, I bought one. It was like $14, $15. It's like $7.99 a pound, and typically there are a couple pounds. So I bought one. And it was so good, I said, I got to go back and get some more. And I asked them if they're going to be having it, you know, beyond St. Patty's Day. And they said, no, it's a special seasonal item. So I bought like a dozen of them. And I'm going to freeze them.
Oh, you're going to bring me one?
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. And so, yeah, but I don't know if the Santa Cruz or Capitola Trader Joe's still has them. But if I were you, and if you like, if I were you, I'm saying you, you know, our whole audience.
Oh, right.
I would, first chance I get, go to Trader Joe's and say the guy on KSCO told you to go there and see if there's any of that uncured corned beef brisket left, and if there is, to buy it. And by the way, you should also say this should be an all-year item because it's so damn good and so good. I think it's good for you because it doesn't have nitrates, nitrites, and nor MSG. Okay? So, anyhow, yeah, I got to pass along stuff that is so unusually good, whether or not they're an advertiser. All righty. Linda May is an expert in Agent Orange, and her company in Illinois holds a patent on the test procedure that the U.S. government will not acknowledge exists. She spent her younger years as the person who wrote the Emergency Procedures Manual, 1982-83, and they are not following. And as a researcher for Agent Orange and nuclear power, she has hands-on experience managing and building and managing nuclear power plants. As a woman, she is the only Department of Defense-approved nuclear specialist, and her company has in-depth research on nuclear power disaster scenarios and the ability to assist in minimizing the disaster in Japan, and she managed an exact design of the plant in Japan. She is in the Who's Who in American Women, 25th edition. Linda K. May is doing interviews these days, and we've got her on the line here. The information she has to offer is time-critical, and her credibility surpasses the current interviews, as she is Department of Defense certified and schooled in nuclear power and experienced as an experienced contractor in the operation of said power plants. In 1983 and 84, Linda wrote the procedures for emergency processing of a disaster at multiple levels, and is willing to discuss this as well. Not only is Linda an expert in this area, she also has a son who is a sergeant in the military stationed with two preteens on a base who are all missing in action. She is motivated to assist in this disaster by sharing everything she knows and awaits a message from the Department of Defense in search of her children. There's a video that you can, if you send me an email, I can send you a copy of this here. But in any case, with that introduction, let's welcome Linda May to the Saturday special. Hey, Linda, you're on the air. Hello?
I'm having trouble hearing. I can't hear you at all.
Oh, well, that's not going to work. That's not going to work then.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the intro at all.
Oh, okay. Well, I read the press release.
Okay.
So, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you better now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. And we spoke briefly yesterday, Linda, and I actually connected you with a friend of mine who was concerned to the point that maybe she would be leaving. And I thought she might be overreacting. And you told me when I asked you if you would be kind enough to speak with her on the telephone, and you said you would. You said you're very concerned about not creating the wrong impression. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about your take on what's happening in Japan. Just how serious is this as far as what you believe, okay? Because that's all we can talk about, because we don't know whether the information being put out by the Japanese government is accurate.
Well, the information we heard from her yesterday was confirmed on CBS News last night in the Midwest. So I believe it to be accurate.
And that information is that there are some people who have died in Japan.
Correct.
Okay. Now I spoke with. Now they haven't died from nuclear poisoning, because that doesn't happen all that fast.
No, it's a slower death.
Right. Okay. So why are we interviewing you today? Okay, because you this is particularly timely, and we want to take advantage of your background. You wrote some books or some procedures manuals.
Okay, you're fading in and out. My background is that I was in charge of safety and health at the exact twin of the plants in Fukushima, Japan. I was also involved in the accident at TMI, as well as Chernobyl, and the safety procedures and the health issues with those plants. My background is a professional health and safety person who also has, in addition, medical credentials. And so I speak both from the safety aspects, and I dealt with earthquake regulations in deciding the plant, developing the preparedness plan, dealing with that, as well as if the incident did occur, the health issues and ramifications that would come from those issues.
Okay. Now, again, this is not for anything other than American-based nuclear plants.
Correct? No, but the plans that we developed in the U.S. are used and approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC, which also follow the international atomic regulations, which the Japanese do follow. So they do follow the U.S. standards.
Okay. So, what message do you have for our KSCO listening audience?
I think what they need to do is be concerned. And what I would say to them is, you have San Onofre, you have Diablo, and I certainly was involved in reviewing their disaster plans as being one of the safety professionals in the nuclear industry at the time. What occurs, to give you an example, last Saturday at 6 p.m. when they had their explosion, 6 days later, that air current will have it in the U.S. So what is occurring today with the explosion and the radioactivity in the air will come to the U.S. 6 days later off the coast of California. So, yes, you have a big concern because inhalation pathways are the most important pathway, as we found with military personnel and others who were in the area surrounding a nuclear accident or even following nuclear explosions. And a good example of that is Nagasaki and Hiroshima. During World War II, the military personnel stationed, even several months later, inhaled from the air nuclear particles, and they belong to an organization called the National Association Atomic Vets, and they do suffer from cancers, and a lot of them have died from those cancers because they served in areas where there were atomic accidents.
Okay. Now, a lot of that, 65
years. I'm sorry, you're fading out.
I think we're going to have to cut this interview off because we can't communicate if you can't hear me and I just don't know what
else
to do.
Yeah, I've got you now.
Okay, well, maybe your phone is fading in and out because we're not fading in and out here at all.
Okay.
So, we'll try this one more time and see if we can get this to work. Is your message then that what I'm hearing on all of the media is that whatever has happened in Japan as of this moment, at least that they've reported to this moment, that we should not be concerned about radiation levels in the air that has been carried by the wind across the ocean, because it's a billionth of the strength that it was when it's there. Are you saying that that's not true, and that we should be concerned?
Health and safety professionals in the industry would say you need to be concerned, and that thought process that they're saying not to be concerned is inappropriate. You need to be concerned and take appropriate action.
Okay, what is the appropriate action that you're recommending that people do?
You need to be aware of the levels in the air, and there are alarms, like I said, along the California coast. There are no false alarms, as we say in the industry. You know, a one-time alarm, that might be different, but you've got alarms that will tell you, and you need to monitor those alarm levels. If you are in an exposed area, you would go and stay inside, and we recommend closing doors and windows and air vents to a building. And a good example of that is in the airbase in Japan, they've closed all outside air ventilation systems so they don't take any outside air in. And as we've also talked about is not taking the potassium iodide, but iodized salt in an appropriate dosage will protect the thyroid gland because you want the iodine. And that's the part that takes up the space and prevents the thyroid gland from soaking up the radiation.
Well, I think most of us are already taking iodized salt. At least I have never not taken iodized salt. All the salt that I have, Morton salt, Leslie salt, it's all iodized.
Right, but some people avoid salt in their diets at great amount. The problem is you don't get enough salt regularly in your diet. You would want to add to that amount. And what I met with people in the nuclear field at the University of Illinois, and they suggested a quarter of a teaspoon of salt in a glass, a Dixie cup of juice or water once every 24 hours would provide the additional iodized salt that one would need to protect the thyroid gland.
Well, that's not very much at all.
No, it's not very much, but it does do a lot.
I don't know, but it would seem to me that just normal everyday people consume that much iodized salt typically. Now, if you're on a salt-free or a low-sodium diet, for hypertension or whatever. Maybe you don't. Would you recommend that for people who avoid salt? Because
we would recommend that for people who avoid salt, but also as an addition, because your food doesn't have that. But also infants, children, we would recommend it in an infant, a baby bottle of 2 ounces of formula. Add a quarter teaspoon of salt once every 24 hours, and then follow it with more fluid so that we make sure it gets distributed to the thyroid gland, which acts as a sponge. So we're saying, in addition to whatever salt you would get in your diet, a quarter teaspoon. And again, I met with the chairman of the nuclear department at the University of Illinois, who I've known for many years when I was in charge of the plant. And, you know, we came up with a dosage that would be appropriate of iodized salt that would do it. The reason you don't use, people who are saying avoid the potassium, is potassium in certain people will cause cardiac irregularities. So the iodine is what you want, and that's a way of getting the iodine in the body without necessarily, access to the tablets.
It seems to me that you used to be able to buy regular old iodine, like merthiolate. Remember merthiolate when you got a little cut on your hand or something?
Right.
I don't see that anymore in the drugstores.
No, they took it off the market, but that's why it's such a simple thing, iodized salt.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, but I don't think that there's anything that we here on the West Coast need to even be slightly concerned about at this point. Do you think I'm being foolish for thinking that?
I think that the levels that took place at the initial explosions a week ago on Saturday are extremely low. What we need to be concerned about is monitor the situation. Certainly with the additional explosions from the hydrogen and the fuel rods exploding and catching fire has put additional radioactivity in the air. But you need to monitor the situation, monitor the weather patterns. And then, you know, the alarms around the plants all up and down the coast are there for a reason. We've had aircrafts come in, like I said yesterday, from Chicago O'Hare, Dallas-Fort Worth, had to sequester those aircraft because they came in. And not only were the aircraft set off the alarms, but the people and their luggage set it off to the point that they had to be segregated and each person had to be evaluated individually.
I see. Okay, we're talking with Linda May, who is a nuclear expert and an experienced nuclear plant training person. On your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with MZ. Linda's our guest. And if anybody has any questions or comments to ask of Linda or comments to make to our audience and to Linda, please give us a call at 479-1080, 479-1080. And by the way, it's 11:42 a.m., so there's only about 17 minutes remaining in the program right now. And it looks like we have someone calling in right now, so let's bring that person on and say, hi, who's calling?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Oh, this is Martha from Watsonville.
Hi, Martha. Okay.
I did find iodine.
Martha, please, you got to speak up because Linda's having a hard time hearing.
Okay, let me
it's
turn
almost
my radio
impossible
down.
For me to hear you.
I'll turn my radio down.
Okay, well, turning the radio down, let's see, how is that going to bring her up? Okay. Martha? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I don't know what happened. Martha hung up here. So who's on the air right now? Yeah, who's this?
For Linda. She mentioned that we should be monitoring the receptor sites that register the...
Everything is sort of going haywire here on the radio station.
I think what his question was... monitoring the sites. By law, when nuclear plants went into operation, we set up alarms outside the plants and all along the areas to monitor the radiation if there was a release. Those monitors exist and operate and are extremely accurate. And yes, we should listen to those monitors, and if you are near a nuclear power plant, you were issued an emergency radio, and you need to pay attention to the information in it. Those alarms were not just for that plant, but but in case there was a nuclear release somewhere else so that they could monitor the amount and the levels.
So is the EPA connected with that, or is it something
Yes,
that we
they were set up with the Environmental Protection Agency, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, OSHA. So they were set up as part of the government regulation of nuclear power. And they were set up, say, you're in the area you're in, and there was a meltdown at a plant in Northern California. Those alarms in Southern California were set to measure the amounts that would be coming down the coast toward any place else. So, yes, pay attention to those monitors.
Yeah,
they are a good guideline.
That's what I'm interested in finding out is where do we, where, how do we connect with those monitors? How do we find out?
Your news media would be the ones who would be able to do that. And they quite regularly, if they go off, they're similar to what we would in the Midwest call tornado alarms. They're set up to the tsunami warning system. So your local radio stations are tuned in. So if the alarms do go off near the nuclear power plant, usually the media knows immediately.
Okay, and do you know if the local university, I know Berkeley and Lawrence Livermore Laboratories are currently monitoring the situation. Do you know if UCSC is involved at all with tracking radiological material?
I do know that Lawrence Livermore and Stanford, along with all the other universities that monitor those and do monitor them so that people across the country will know what levels are coming in across the coast.
Okay.
And as they said in the news media, when the monitors went off on Thursday night late, they measured the levels, and they not only measure the small gamma radiation, they measure the plutonium. And those amounts and radiological levels should be made public because they're supposed to be made public under the emergency plans.
Okay, so do you know what the results of the plutonium material are?
I do not have that in front of me. I think if you did a search of the websites, you would come up with what the, there should be no levels in the air, but the alarms are not set to pick up an occasional minute level. They're set up to detect levels that we need the population to move to a safer area. So
okay.
You can rest assured that the alarms aren't going to go off unless there's something there. And as I've said to many a person, including my own son when he was little, there is no false alarm. You react as if the alarm is real. Take appropriate precautions and don't ignore it.
So staying inside, and is it necessary to seal windows and doors at that point if we hear alarms?
Yes, stay inside. The alarms are there for a purpose. There are, these alarms are not faulty. They don't have false alarms. They work.
Right. Okay, would you recommend using plastic and duct tape or something like that to seal off the cracks around the windows and doors? Or
I would
or no?
say stay prudent, follow the instructions of the local authorities. As I noted on the military bases in northern Japan, what they did is air intake from the outside, because the base is at the epicenter of the quake. They shut off the air intake from the outside because they are in the area where the clouds, you know, and radiation is taking effect over Japan. So you would follow the same criteria that they would follow and follow the instructions given in the media for when there is a release.
Wow. Thank you very much for your information. Thank you, Michael, for having Linda on.
What is your name, caller? I didn't get your name.
Oh, James.
Okay. Hey, thank you, James.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael, for having
her. Take care.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so let's see. That's our. That was James in wherever he was. Now we're going to go to Frank in Salinas. Frank, welcome to the Saturday special.
Hi.
With MZ and our special guest, Linda May.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
I never have really heard an accurate report on what were the side effects from Chernobyl on people and food growing 5, 10, 50 miles from Chernobyl and 5, 10, you know, 20, 30 years after Chernobyl.
Following Chernobyl and the clouds that overran, what we had to do is any animals that were not moved inside to barns, in Germany as an example, were slaughtered, disposed of. Before the clouds crossed over countries, we warned the farmers to move the animals inside and feed them only grain that had been stored inside. Any food that was being grown outside when the clouds went over was disposed of and destroyed. because of the radiation levels. So, yes, crops can be lost with the clouds. Yes. The issue is not the radiation that initially came from last Saturday's explosion, but the follow-up radiation from the last few days, which won't hit the coast for another 3 to 4 or 5 days.
How many people died from Chernobyl?
Chernobyl, there's a lot of research written on that. There have been hundreds of children who got radioactive exposure, and yes, there were a number of deaths. I don't have the exact number, but it's in the several hundreds.
How about people 100 miles away, 200 miles away, where they
died? There were radiology deaths throughout the area of Chernobyl, and they were not just close by, but they spanned several hundred miles during the accident. Because you may get some immediate radiation sickness and deaths within a couple weeks of people within 10 to 15 miles, but you did get deaths 100 miles and 200 miles away, depending on the weather patterns. So there's a lot of research in PubMed and various other medical journals, and there still is today following those people up with those cancers. It's the same as with Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There were deaths, and they are reported in the medical literature.
How about 500 miles away or 1,000 miles away?
I think it depends on the weather pattern and the levels in it. And so you'd have to go to the literature and look at the map. And the literature does specify which cities were affected and the deaths that occurred from the cancers and the exposure.
What website is that?
Public, you can go to any university public health medical research site.
Okay.
There is a website called PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, and I think if you would type in Chernobyl research deaths or Chernobyl, you will get a lot of medical research, well-documented follow-up.
Is it PubMed.org or .gov or .edu?
I think it's not a gov website. It's a compilation of medical research that's done worldwide.
So maybe
people
it's
from .com. London and whatever.
Might be .com then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whatever it is, try all of them and you'll get there.
Thank you ever so much.
Okay, Frank and Salinas.
Type it into Google, your website.
Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Martha in Watsonville has called back. Let's see if we can hear her.
Hi. Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better, Martha.
Okay. I had a question since I talked to you, but I wanted to tell you that I did get the iodine tincture of iodine. I got it at a health food store.
Oh.
And I did search and I found it.
Good.
I was recommended to something minor for it. So you can find it at those.
Great. Thanks for letting us know.
And also, as I was listening to her talk, the West Coast, they're focusing in on it. Is it possible throughout the United States that this activity is going to happen, or is it just the West Coast?
No, it will move across the country as the weather pattern moves. So it hits the West Coast, but it will move on. And even in the Midwest, we are concerned, as well as the East Coast, because you will have it moving across the country.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Martha. That opens up a line at 479-1080. You can email mz@ksco.com, but you better hurry because there's less than 8 minutes left in the program. Our guest is Linda May, who is a nuclear expert. And by the way, Keith in Soquel says that we don't have to worry about nuclear radiation because Santa Cruz is a nuclear-free zone. Very, very funny, Keith in Soquel. Or was that Dave Michaels who added that? I'm not sure. Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air.
Thank you, MC, and thanks for having Linda on. It's kind of true. I mean, we've already been zapped. I don't know where these people are that are following these clouds because radiation from where it takes off at hits the cloud, bounces back down, goes and hits another cloud, bounces back down. This whole place is irradiated. The best thing you could do right now, Michael, is stay the hell out of all this rain. But I want to tell you something.
Which is a good idea for people to do anyhow.
Yeah, but I want to tell you something about your salt. Go to sea salt. Sea salt's got your iodine and everything else that's out there.
Is that true,
ocean.
Linda May? When we were talking with Sandy yesterday, you said do not get sea salt because it didn't have iodine.
I'm not real familiar with the chemical makeup of sea salt, and therefore I didn't want to give her some misinformation. My information from the Department of Nuclear Engineering was iodized salt, and we didn't look at various brands of
sea salt. Exactly. And how about potassium? But how about eating four bananas a day, Michael? Will you do that? That's all the potassium you need. Did you know bananas are radioactive?
No.
Yes, they are, aren't they, Linda?
Well, the thing is, what you do is you put the iodine, you bind it with potassium to put it in pill form. The potassium is just there so that they can put the iodine in a pill form.
What,
you don't need the potassium. You need the iodine.
Linda, why are we following clouds around?
Pardon?
You're not going to know which cloud is which by the time them clouds get over here. And that radiation is already irradiated this place. It travels at the speed of light.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
Richard,
it does.
In Watsonville.
Well, it takes approximately 6 days for the weather pattern to move
about
the weather
radiation.
From Japan to the U.S.
I'm talking about radiation, not the clouds.
Well, it moves within the clouds, so it's about 6 days for the weather pattern, which has the radiation in the clouds, to move to the U.S. coast.
And you think these power plants here are ready for a 9 or a 10 earthquake, huh?
I didn't hear her say that.
No, she thinks that these nuclear power plants we have out here are regulated just fine by the NRC, she said, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
What I said was our disaster plans were written for earthquake preventions. As you'll note, it wasn't the earthquake that did the damage to the plant. It was the follow-up of the tsunami knocked out the secondary generation to cooling.
No,
and it was the wall
out
of water that destroyed the generation to the cooling pool.
You know, I think you should go back and look at that again. You say you were even there. I think that, and I'll tell you another thing, the thing is 85 feet high. If they would have built it 100 feet and filled that thing up with cement, 100 foot square in that beach, that tsunami would have gone over that power plant and filled it up completely, and we'd be sending skin divers down there right now to even hook it back up if the other part of it wasn't still online even. We're right there next to the number one enemy of radiation, salt water, and they cannot get to the salt water. Why don't you just come out and say that?
What they did is the secondary generation to provide cooling was knocked out by the tsunami water.
Wait a minute. The secondary generation was batteries.
Right, and it was knocked out by the wall of water.
No, the batteries died down. They're charged up, they died down, they brought the generators in, they hooked up the generators, and they had the wrong fittings. It's like working on an American engine with metric tools. Don't work.
Now, Richard N. Watsonville, you have something in common with our guest Linda May.
Well
not
I
really. I mean, you both have knowledge of Agent Orange. We didn't say Linda May is an expert on Agent Orange.
When I was in Vietnam, I was way before the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It was called the Atomic Energy Commission. And
that's
number
exactly
one
right.
Enemy of radiation is salt water. And that was Chernobyl's big thing because the Kiev River was fresh water. Did no damn good at all.
Richard, thank you for your
right,
call. We got to move on to Ed and Aptos, who wants to talk about nuclear accidents.
That's why I add something what Richard said. Well, not what Richard said. I heard that their generators were buried underground there at the site. So they didn't consider a tsunami a threat and didn't plan for it.
That's correct. The tsunami, they did not take appropriate precautions in their planning. But remember, their plants were built in the early 70s. So the safety procedures back in the 70s, they didn't think about 30 and 40 foot walls of water knocking out secondary cooling generator systems. So it was partial planning, but, it's a situation that, the diesels didn't take place and there was no power to the plant to run them.
And what's done is done. I was just wondering about something I'd heard just briefly, that there was an accident in ARCO where I guess they had a runaway reactor. And I'd never heard about that. Plus, what studies have been done for all the radioactive stuff that was put out by the bombs we used to explode in Nevada in the 50s. I mean, there was a lot of
lot of above-ground explosions that took place there. Well, I don't know. I remember as a kid I lived in Fresno and getting up early.
I'm not sure if Linda has any data.
Well, I can address that issue, and there have been studies.
You've got to do it in like 20 seconds because we're at the end of the
program. There have been studies, and those are available, and those veterans did become ill who were present at those test sites.
What about ARCO? Are you familiar with what I guess was the runaway reactor at ARCO? And
I'm not familiar with ARCO per se, so I couldn't speak to that issue.
Okay, Ed, thank you.
Thank you.
Lee and Spreckles. Oh, it's Spreckles this way. He's calling back. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So we appreciate that. We wish we could put you back on, Lee, but it's at the end of the program that will be rebroadcast tonight. Tune into the rerun tonight from 10 p.m. to midnight. And one of these days it'll be posted at KSCO.com when we get our act together. That's it for the KSCO Saturday special. Thank you, Linda May.
You're welcome.
Best to you, and we appreciate your being on with us. And that's about it. So see you next week.
That's all.
KSCO Santa Cruz, San Jose, 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
The first strikes fired over Libya's no-fly zone. The French say it's warp lanes fired upon Libyan war vehicles. For the latest, let's go to Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley. Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley reporting from Cairo on the situation.
That French fighter jet is apparently shot at several military vehicles in Libya. U.S. forces have not been involved in the first airstrikes, but now that it's after nightfall here in northern Africa, a U.S. military source telling Fox News, the U.S. may either use two destroyers, the USS Stout or Barry, or the sub, the USS Providence, to fire Tomahawk missiles aimed at taking out Gaddafi's air defense. The strike happening under the cover of night in order to minimize collateral damage. In Cairo, Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
Courtney filing for that for us a short time ago. President Obama weighing in on the Libyan situation from his visit to Brazil. Let's go live to Brazil and Fox News Radio's Mike Mankiewicz.
As the pieces of this internationally enforced no-fly zone fall into place, the president here in Brasilia issued what is likely to be a final warning to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi.
Our consensus was strong and our resolve is clear. The people of Libya must be protected.
The president saying attacks on civilians must end immediately. Karen?
Mike, thank you. In Japan, workers are continuing to dump water over and into the Fukushima power plant to keep radiation from leaking out.
There is, of course, no guarantee this will work, and they are also continuing to look at if they may need to cover the reactors in concrete and sand, Chernobyl style, to protect them in the future.
Fox's David Piper reporting. Higher than acceptable levels of radiation have been found in spinach and milk from around the facility. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore.
Our next guest is one of the most impressive NFL records as both a player and a coach and respected by everybody in and out of sports, Coach Tony Dungy. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Brian. It's always fun being with you.
Well, I appreciate that. I know you're excited about your book, You Can Be a Friend, but why'd you write it?
Well, my wife, Lauren, and I co-wrote it. We're excited about doing some things, trying to promote literacy, but putting books out there that are not only fun, but have a little message about family and friendships, and we're really, really pleased the response.
Well, and so far, You Can Be a Friend. I actually brought it home. My daughter read it. She's in third grade. We read it together. Loved it. Excellent job. You love influencing kids more than anything.
Well, I think that's important. In my last year in Indianapolis, we had very, very poor graduation rates. That all kind of stems back to reading early. That's a message we want to get across.
Coach Tony Dungy, thanks so much.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
There are questions over Japan's response to its crisis.
Emergency sirens sounded Friday, recalling the moment the earthquake hit a week earlier. Reports now say nuclear plant operator Tokyo Electric Power Company ignored overheating reactors for almost 2 days because it knew that emergency cooling would destroy them. The firm was later berated publicly by Japanese government for withholding information on just what was going on. That is the sound of firemen parading before operating water cannons at the plant, a measure that officials say may now be working. But there is another reason why it took so long to seize the situation. Some analysts here say Japan's ruling Democratic Party has long been antagonistic to this power company, resenting its past, siding with political opponents. And that animosity lived on as the power plant burned. In Tokyo, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
Honda, meantime, suspending May orders for Japan-made vehicles. Honda says it expects to resume full production next Wednesday. All those protests and counter-protests, and Wisconsin's budget bill is slowed by a judge.
For now, Wisconsin's budget repair bill won't go into effect later this month. That's because a judge says she wants to take a closer look at a lawsuit alleging that Republican lawmakers violated the state's open meetings law when they convened a committee to pass Governor Scott Walker's repair bill. The suit was filed by the Dane County District Attorney. The judge says her ruling would not prevent the legislature from reconvening the committee with proper notice and passing the bill again. The governor's office says it's confident the bill will become law in the near future. Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
In Albany, New York, police have arrested their own spokesman on charges of driving while intoxicated in an unmarked police car. Police say public information officer James Miller was pulled over for driving without headlights last night. He was charged with driving while intoxicated and refused to submit to a chemical test. He is suspended without pay. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got to tune in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, March 19th, 2011. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. Let's start off with traffic in the Santa Cruz County. Trout Gulch Road just south of Valencia Street. A traffic collision reported at 1157. Soquel Avenue at Rancho Gulch Road. A traffic hazard reported at 1156. This is a vehicle partially blocking the roadway. Up on Highway 17 southbound or northbound near Laurel Road, a traffic collision took place around 11 p.m. Traffic still slow moving through there. Tow truck arrived on scene about 20 minutes ago. Over on the other side of the hill, northbound 101 at eastbound 237, a traffic collision reported at 1150. Traffic at the Fishhook moving at the limit in both directions. Your forecast for today is for more showers as well as possible thunderstorms and possible hail. Highs will be around 57 degrees. Your boaters forecast for today, southwest winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming south 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet and west swells 8 to 10 feet every 14 seconds, along with showers and